This is episode 351 of Tech Talk Radio, Australia's premier tech talk show, which aired on Monday, September the 26th, 2011.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio in your backyard and worldwide on the pod.
Mr. Zuckerberg, do I have your full attention?
Why would anyone trust this government not to make a complete and utter shambolic mess of the national broadband network?
Which part of time would they like us to go back to? 1960, 1930?
Can you really give that guarantee when you don't seem to know what peak speed is? I'll tell you what it is.
Okay, great. Let's give everybody a case.
The future is here.
So now technology has caught up with reality.
Ever since Telstra was privatised, Australians have suffered.
Technology has had a huge impact on our love lives.
On air, on the internet and on the pod, you're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Hello everybody, I'm Andrew McComb and welcome to this week's edition of Tech Talk Radio. In the ever-changing world of technology, only true great gadgets stands the test of time. Chances are, if you don't own one of Apple's iPods, then you know someone who does. Would it surprise you that the ubiquitous device is having its 10th birthday this week? Steve Jobs first introduced it on October the 23rd, 2001, and it went on sale a few weeks later. After a fairly slow start, the iPod eventually became Apple's main growth driver and helped lead the company's amazing comeback, and then gave way to the iPhone and iPad. Today, the iPod business is in decline, while the rest of Apple continues to grow rapidly, especially the iPhone and iPad. It's easy to say that the right move is to shut down the iPod line and focus on the iPhone, iPad and Mac, but Apple has a big investment in music, especially as Apple already seems to be winding down the iPod brand with iOS, splitting the iPod app into separate music and video apps. Could Apple split the iPod Touch into two devices, a Nano or Mini that runs some sort of iOS? Or maybe it's time for Apple to reshape their range of iGadgets, with the release of iPhone 5 sooner than later. And let's face it, Apple's phone does everything the iPod does and more. So maybe time's up for the old iPod.
This week on Tech Talk Radio.
eBay builds a new division to woo developers. Windows Store sole channel is for Metro apps. Pirate Party wins seat in a German election. How do you watch movies at home? Adam Turner takes a look at surround sound. And RIM ready to clear playbook stockpile. Is this yet another fire sale? First up though, here's this week's news roundup from the Tech Talk Radio News Desk.
This is Tech Talk News.
This week on Tech Talk News, all eyes on the sky as a NASA research satellite plummets to Earth, Facebook's latest facelift, the ACCC loses a case against Google in the federal court, a major security hole is uncovered in Skype for iOS, and do particles exist which travel faster than the speed of light? Welcome to Tech Talk News. Astronomers the world over had their eyes fixed firmly on the heavens as a NASA research satellite re-entered the Earth's atmosphere on Saturday afternoon. The Upper Atmosphere Research Satellite, or UARS, is a defunct satellite which began operation in 1991. The UARS worked for many years studying the Earth's atmosphere, specifically changes to the ozone layer. It was decommissioned in 2005. After many days of speculation over exactly where and when the satellite would fall from orbit, the UARS re-entered Earth's atmosphere on Saturday afternoon, somewhere between Canada and Africa, and is possibly now lying at the bottom of the North Atlantic Ocean. The UARS weighed about 6 tonnes. It was expected to break up into more than 100 pieces and disintegrate on re-entry, but it's possible that a number of larger pieces did make it to Earth. NASA said the odds of a person anywhere on the planet being hit by a piece of the falling satellite was about 1 in 3,200, but a person's individual odds are about 1 in 21 trillion. NASA also said that, by international treaty, they would make good any injuries or damages caused by falling space junk, but added that any object surviving re-entry remained the property of the American government. Social networking site Facebook has rolled out a new interface which it says will be easier than ever to see more from the people you care about. Facebook also said the changes made it simpler to share with exactly the right people. The homepage news feed has been revamped and a news ticker has been introduced. The Friends panel on the right-hand side of users' screens has been segregated with a new summary at the top right. The way which photos are displayed has been rejigged, and Facebook has also updated its mobile site and applications for for iGadgets and Android devices. In an apparent response to rival Google Plus's Circles, Facebook has also introduced friend lists in an effort to give its users more control over who sees what content. The changes were deployed over a few days last week and are now appearing in most users' accounts. Many Facebook users have been highly critical of the changes, with many articles being published explaining how to restore the older, more familiar interface. Australia's competition watchdog, the ACCC, has lost a case against search giant Google in the federal court. The ACCC took action against Google in 2007, alleging that it should be held responsible for its advertisers' behaviour and not for adequately distinguishing between organic search results and sponsored advertisements. The ACCC also alleged that the Trading Post had placed sponsored ads on Google using competitors' names, which then directed traffic to the Trading Post website. Justice Nicholas in the federal court last week found that the Trading Post had engaged in deceptive conduct, but that Google could not be held responsible for the Trading Post's actions. Justice Nicholas also found that the ACCC had failed to establish that Google had not sufficiently distinguished advertisements from search results. The Trading Post was ordered to pay $28,000 costs to the ACCC, while the ACCC will have to pay costs to Google. A new security vulnerability in popular voice over IP application Skype could let hackers access entire address books on Apple devices. According to a post on security firm SuperEver's security blog, a cross-site scripting vulnerability exists in the chat message window in Skype 3.0.1 and earlier versions for iPhone and iPod Touch devices. This means when Skype users view a message, a hacker could run JavaScript code that checks a locally stored HTML file, potentially revealing a user's full name. Additionally, an attacker could gain access to users' file systems and access any file that the application itself has access to. Security firm SuperEver posted a video on its blog showing ways to exploit the vulnerability. Skype is now understood to be aware of the vulnerability and working to release an update as soon as possible. And scientists believe they have recorded subatomic particles, neutrinos, travelling faster than the speed of light and have invited peers to interrogate their research. The observations, made over 3 years, show neutrinos travelling between Geneva and Italy, a distance of over 700 kilometres, arriving 60 nanoseconds faster than a beam of light over the same distance. The tiny difference is incredibly important and, if verified independently, will have enormous implications for physicists and scientists. Understanding of physics. For over 100 years, Albert Einstein's theory of special relativity has held true, which maintains that nothing can travel faster than the speed of light. I'm Dr. Ron, and that's your tech update for this week.
Previously on Tech Talk Radio.
Graham is using Windows 8 down on the end. We've tweeted
trying
pictures
to.
Of it.
They talk again and again and again how it's touch-centric and how it's touch-first.
They called me on my mobile to ask me where the data was bad.
People are zombie-ifying Android phones, are they?
They are indeed, according to...
Works really well.
Maybe there is truth to that.
No, maybe.
It's fine.
Graham, on your nice, big, new, shiny Sony Bravia television at home?
Yes.
Do you have a TV antenna plugged into it?
No.
Enough said.
Java, my friend. Java.
Yep.
Could be Java. Yeah.
Shifting is all about convenience, but it tends to annoy the content providers as they don't care too much about what's convenient for us.
They've deciphered the structure of an enzyme of an AIDS-like virus.
How do you kill it?
Put it in the washing machine.
Updates are important.
Thank you. Just do them.
Cool story, bro.
No, seriously.
In other news,
those same clueless people have now got iPhones.
Oh, dear.
Now, hang on.
Because it's
entertaining, informative, and independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
The panel on Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew McComb. Joining me on the panel this evening is Graham Callaghan. Hello, Graham.
Hello, Andrew.
Going camera right to left tonight just to be something different.
Yep.
Front and centre, Dr. Ron.
Front and centre. Correct. Yep. How are you going?
I'm good, thank you very much.
That's all right.
I'm good. And camera left, Lena Van Deventer.
Hello.
Van
Deventer.
Sorry, thank you. it's been an interesting week this week. It's been the changing of the seasons here in the Southern Hemisphere, which I guess it is in the Northern Hemisphere too.
Yep.
The days are getting longer. The days are getting warmer, which is just very nice. And spring has sprung. And in the Northern Hemisphere, the days are getting shorter. And things are falling, including buses out of the space area. Dr. Ron?
Yeah. How exciting
is that? Where did it land?
somewhere in the North Atlantic, they think.
Puts a new meaning on the word fall, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. I think the trajectory was last seen, well, I think they plotted it somewhere over Canada. And it was heading southeastish towards the African continent. And so somewhere in between, they reckon. It's probably gone into the North Atlantic Ocean.
You had to be really unlucky if you got hit. Who was telling me during the course of the week when Skylab came down and hit a cow?
Yeah, I was telling you that.
Was it?
Yeah,
it
didn't hit any
poor cow
body, but yeah.
Did NASA replace the cow?
I don't know. I don't know. But there's an international treaty that says NASA must make good any injuries or damages as a result of falling space junk that they own or they're responsible for.
There was a ticket issued by the local council where Skylab, where parts of Skylab landed for littering.
Oh, really?
That was sent to NASA that they never paid.
How rude.
But it was eventually paid by fundraisers, I believe, but not by NASA.
Fundraisers? Okay. Because, did they get their nose out of joint because they didn't get a cut of the action for damages for parking when they're...
I don't know the full story. That's as much as I know.
Okay.
Let's see if I can find it.
Now, I had a very interesting discussion with a colleague last night about NASA saying that, by the way, we retain ownership of anything that falls out of the sky. That's the property of the United States government. But we were saying, we were debating the legalities of that if it happened in Australia.
We were saying,
good luck, NASA.
What happens to salvage rights, like when it goes into the water people go and haul out things like Titanics out of ponds and
that's
things?
That's exactly the debate. Is it like salvaging something from the bottom of the ocean?
Because keepers. Yeah, exactly. If someone pulls something out of the bottom of the ocean, whether it's sunken treasure or what else, does that mean NASA has first dibs on it?
Well, the onus would have to be on NASA to prove that the property did belong to them.
Well, possession's 9/10 of the law, isn't it? So if you don't tell anyone, who's to know?
With salvage rights is part of maritime law, and it may not apply to stuff that's originated in space.
Well, it's gone submarine, hasn't it?
Well, yeah, and I think there's also a requirement that it be abandoned as well, isn't there? So if NASA don't abandon their claim on it, then, yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know enough about the law.
No, we need legal experts.
Was a good debate.
It was. So this thing was the size of a bus. It broke up into, a couple of dozen pieces?
Yeah, they think.
A bit of a fiery...
They think if the actual number of pieces, they don't know. Yeah, it's disappeared somewhere over the ocean.
Yeah.
Probably never to be seen again.
I think someone said it landed somewhere, or one of the articles I was reading, sort of around California way or something, in the Pacific Ocean. Is that not right?
Yeah, somewhere there. Oh. Somewhere out there somewhere.
Yeah. No one saw it. Apparently that you have to see it because it doesn't show up on radar. It doesn't have a squawk box or anything.
No.
So you
can't
track it.
It was difficult to track for them, and because of the way it was wobbling and the way it was re-entering the Earth's atmosphere, it was difficult to track. It was difficult to predict exactly the date and time and location where it was going to come down.
Mm.
So they didn't know until pretty much the last minute where it was going to arrive.
Oh,
okay.
It's back now.
Did someone yell out 4 really loud?
Yep. Yeah, that's a good idea. So what's next to come out of the sky? Anyone know?
I don't know. This wasn't all entirely remarkable because this sort of stuff falls out of the sky every day. The thing that was remarkable about this was that it was...
Not quite anything this big every day.
That's the thing.
Every couple of weeks or so, something does, yeah.
Yeah, the issue was that this was one of the largest things to come out of the sky for about... since Skylab, I think.
Because Skylab landed in WA, didn't it?
I think it was in Western Australia or Outback WA Outback South Australia, something like that.
Bits of it did, yeah.
Bits of it. The bits that didn't burn up.
Oh, the bits that didn't go a bit further and land in the ocean.
Okay. All right. How's your Windows 8 going, Graham, by the way? You've had it on there for a week now on the ThinkPad. You haven't reverted back? You haven't downgraded to XP?
Well, yes, I have. I never moved.
Oh, you were running it virtually, weren't
you? I was running it in a virtual machine. So, yes, I've only been playing with it when I've had a bit of spare time to tinker.
Have you installed it on anything else? Or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
Very good. Dr. Ron, correspondence. There was plenty during the course of the week. The mailbox kept going ka-ching.
There was heaps of correspondence, which is really good. And if you want to send us something, feedback@techtalkradio.com.au is the best place to send it.
I noticed you've got a fan club on the chat tonight.
I do. Come and join us in the chat if you're listening live on a Monday evening. You can come and join all of the panellists, Dan, Zathras, Dingo, BB.
And if you're listening to us on Phoenix FM in Bendigo, well done, you're back for more.
Hello, all of Phoenix listeners on Wednesday nights. Good to have you on board. And hello to everybody listening on YFM in Launceston, Saturday afternoons.
Launceston, I was corrected last week.
Launceston.
No lawns here.
Launceston.
No.
Launceston.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
Launceston.
And of course, all our other listeners on all the other stations that take us all the way around the
From
country
Cairns,
and around the
through to
various parts
Catherine,
of the world.
Through to, yes.
Everywhere.
Hello, everybody.
Hello, everybody.
Here's a vicious rumor. New York next week.
Really?
Oh, truly. Yeah. Made the Big Apple.
Cool.
See what he did there?
Nice. Yep.
What's that thing around your neck, Lena?
This is my new necklace.
It's exciting.
I geeked it up.
It is. It looks like an Apple stop button.
Stop button?
Yeah.
A power button.
That's the same thing.
It's used to start as well as stop. It glows. I think
it's obviously not glowing at the moment. Is this because it's an Apple device and you can't change the battery?
No, it is not, Andrew McComb. You can unscrew the back and change the battery. It is slowly lighting up and sort of it's in like sleep mode.
Dr. Ron, can you tweet pick that for everyone to have a look at? I think that needs to be done.
If cool. Lena can make it glow, I will.
Yep. All right. I'll try really hard.
Oh, there's a challenge, isn't it?
That's right.
While she's off doing
don't
that,
blow a foot for Bell. Whatever you do,
correspondence before it gets out of control.
Certainly, Zathras in the chat room tonight.
Hello, Zathras, he is in there.
He is, says, "Hello, Tech Talk crew. Love the netcast and have been a regular listener since last year when I found out about Tech Talk Radio on Leo Laporte's Twit Network of tech shows." Oh, that's very nice. Awesome.
Hello, Leo.
We're linked up with the Twit Network somehow. "There has been a huge amount of misconceptions, untruths, lies, and FUD around the NBN.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt."
Yes.
NBN.
We can't stun them with science, as they say.
"After Googling about the National Broadband Network, I found this gem. It's a one-hour lecture at Macquarie University by Peter Ferris, who is responsible for planning the NBN rollout. This is a tech-packed lecture that fully debunks the myths touted by the media around the NBN and explains in great detail how the rollout is designed. It's the best tech description of the NBN I've ever seen. It's fascinating viewing for any of us who want to know more about the biggest tech infrastructure deployment in Australia. The video is here." He's put a link there, and it's on YouTube, and I'll pop the link in the show notes. "Keep up all the great work. All of you love the show." Thanks, Athras. That's terrific. We'll pop the link there so people can go and have a look at the video. I think it goes for about an hour and 10 minutes or an hour and 20 minutes or something. I had a quick look during the week, so...
Did you just say you're going to put that in the show notes?
I will. Where are they,
Graham? Where do new listeners find the show notes?
Forum.techtalkradio.com.
And how do new people sign into the forum?
Andrew. Now, Graham's going to have to edit this bit out now. No, the forum, you can't currently register as a new user on the forum. I've got a minor database problem, but we'll get that fixed so people can register afresh. But you can view anything.
We've got to get some text in to do that, don't we?
We need to get some text in. Yeah. You can view anything anonymously. You don't have to be registered. You don't have to log in. You can just go there and view whatever you like.
So if you try and sign up, don't stress. Come back. Back in 5 minutes.
Normal programming will be resumed shortly.
Yep.
Technical difficulties.
And the forum's a great place. For those of you who are listening on the relay stations in Bendigo and Launceston and all around the other various places, because you guys are listening to the show after we do it and you won't be able to be in the chat, the forum is a place where you can go and participate in discussions about the show. So it's really the ideal place for you guys to go. So once we get the sign-ups back up and running, you'll be able to join up. But in the meantime, have a read of what's already there. And that way you'll be all set to go for when the sign-ups are working again.
Carl, via the Tech Talk Radio contact form, says, "Hi, team. I've finally caught up with the podcast, having been OS for a couple of weeks."
Overseas.
Overseas. Operating system. Overseas. Overseas works.
iOS. Sorry, no.
"Having just witnessed firsthand the internet speeds in Indonesia, along with their heavy reliance on DVDs and satellite, I'm even more convinced that we're jumping the gun here in the West as we stampede towards streaming and away from optical media.
Ooh.
The West might be nearly ready, but the rest of the world ain't." "Just wanted to throw in a couple of corrections from last week's show. Lena, the Mac OS, the Mac overseas, prior to Lion, is Snow Leopard."
Yeah, I think I said that, and then I said changed my mind later and said Tiger, but that was wrong.
Maybe you didn't do it on the radio, hence the correspondence.
Yeah, maybe.
"Before that was just Leopard, which was then preceded by Tiger.
Yeah.
I installed Lion as an upgrade, not a clean install, and it has worked beautifully on my 2009 iMac."
Oh, good.
"Apart from getting used to reverse scrolling..."
Reverse scrolling?
You chuckle and titter. What is reverse scrolling?
Okay, this is great for radio. If you can look at my fingers on my MacBook Pro.
We're all looking.
Like how I go down like that and it scrolls down. I'm moving my hands from top to bottom to scroll.
Yep.
It's from bottom to top in Lion. So they've reversed it the other way around. So it takes a bit of getting used to, but it does make sense.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that. It's like you're pushing the page up instead of scrolling down.
Yeah. So they've sort of inverted the mouse almost, like if you were playing a game or something. They've changed
it. No, but that's what
so
you do if you, in some versions of Adobe Reader, you when you're using the hand tool, you push the page upwards.
Yes.
Instead of pulling the scroll bar down.
Yeah, so yeah. It makes sense. But it does take a bit of getting used to, though, and a lot of people are having that problem with Lion where they can't get used to it. But apparently once you do get used to it, it's fine.
Carl says, apart from getting used to that, I love how fast my machine now boots up, as well as the multiple desktops and the iPhone-like launch pad feature. Do you like launch pad?
Yes.
Andrew, as far as I know, 1HD also broadcasts in 1080i.
Yes,
not
Channel
just
10.
Gem and not just Mate. ABC 24 and SBS
HD. I don't normally watch that channel. That's why I just glossed over it last week. Correct.
ABC 24 and SBS HD both use fraud def 720. Cheers, Carl.
Yeah, and if you've got unblockus.com loaded up on your machine, just check out the BBC HD. There's another one.
Just like smartphones, Phoenix, in the chat. You heard correctly. Sony fanboy via the contact form says, hi, guys.
Says.
Yeah. I downloaded the Windows 8 developer preview a few days ago, and I wanted to know what your view is on it. I personally think it's a great system once you get used to it, but because it's also a touch screen system, it can be difficult to use. Should I get it once it's released officially, or wait 6 months or so? Cheers, guys. Keep up the good work from the fanboy.
Okay.
Graham.
The answer to that is that even the official release is a long way off. What we're looking at now is a preview before even the beta test. So we're probably talking at least a year down the track before they're going to release a product. And by then it'll be quite different still. And again,
I reckon they need something to help their phone sales along a little bit more. I reckon they might.
Phones. This is on PCs.
Yeah, I know, but
it looks
also
like a phone.
It's
but
designed to do tablet-y, phony
like
things. It does look like a phone. Yes, you're right. Yes.
And, so Sony fanboy, that's what we reckon. Graham,
so you won't have to make that decision for quite some time. And when you do, you probably don't want to be one of the guys on day one buying it. But then again, we always say that, and, sometimes it turns out that it's, that you regret it later, that there's, if you'd bought Windows 7 when it came out, you would have been really happy. You bought Windows Vista when it came out, you probably wouldn't have been.
You would have been a bit disappointed.
So, you're probably best to wait and see a little bit, but not too long. But as I say, be a while before that's an issue.
And last but certainly not least, almost regular contributor, Renegade Fruit Loop, says, having achieved the status of almost a regular contributor, the fiancé now claims I'm a bigger nerd than he is. Seeing as I still use him as the in-home IT help desk, I don't think so.
Fiance?
--, Anyway, just a quick question to the panel. Do any of the TTR... it's right bracket,
yeah.
Do any of the TTR crew or listeners use an e-reader due to the latest book in the Song of Ice and Fire series, which is a fiction fantasy series, coming out in a massive hardback and the release date of the more bus-friendly paperback nowhere in the near future? I've been considering the e-reader option and was wondering whether anyone had a good recommendation and what features I should be looking for. My father always tells me to, if I'm going to buy him a book, get the paperback, not the hardback, because if he's reading at nighttime in bed and he falls asleep, it breaks his nose when it drops the book in his
falls.
Face.
Oh. Heavier.
That's the reason.
Yak,
if you're in the chat. I've had a bit of a look around, but e-readers seem rather hard to come by in the mainstream electronics stores. One particular salesperson even suggested to me that e-readers were on their way out and tablets will be taking over from now on.
Oh, God, salespeople are idiots sometimes. it's not the same job. It's like saying, cars are on the way out because people are using motorcycles these days. Then they'll both get you from A to B, but they're completely different beasts.
Salespeople have sales targets, and that's why they say funny things. But I would think that tablets are quite expensive. Yes, they are, Renegade, and there should still be a place for the smaller, lower cost and less power-intensive e-reader, especially with the e-ink technology that's much easier on the eye.
And that's the other big difference. Tablets are computer displays, backlit displays, whereas your e-reader is an e-ink display. It looks like paper. So you can read it while you're sitting on the beach or wherever you happen to be out and about and don't have to strain your eyes with a backlight.
Look, Fruit Loop, I've got a number of friends who have Amazon Kindles. They absolutely love them. They've got built-in Wi-Fi.
Second that.
Yeah, you can download e-books. Like Graham said, you can read in sunlight with little or no glare, as opposed to a tablet like an iPad or a Samsung tablet, which is glary in sunlight. And much, much cheaper than an iPad as well.
There's a lot on the trains, I think, isn't there? I think someone said the other day, I think Adam did a piece on e-readers recently, and I think it started.
Public transport users are
big e-readers.
Big e-reader users, yep. And there's a reason for that. I've recently replaced my Kindle because I left my last one on the plane.
Oh, you did,
stuck in the back in the pocket of the seat in front of me and just never saw it again. But I've just replaced it and it was very good. I got all my books just loaded back on it because I, even though the Kindles now are available in Australia and you can see them at retailers, the Kindle in particular, you can see at Dick Smith Electronics and Big W. So
you can have touchy-feely with it. Go and check it out.
Go and check it out down there. I still ordered mine direct from Amazon, though, Amazon.com, and it came already pre-configured linked to my account, so I didn't have to go through all that sign-up malarkey.
Yep.
I turned it on. I bought the 3G version, so it's got 3G built in. You don't have to pay a subscription for that. It's just built into the unit.
And yeah, they've obviously done a deal with telcos globally,
all around the world.
They
have, yeah. And, it just all my books just appeared on it. Even knew what page I was up to.
Isn't that great?
So, yeah, no problems with that. So, the only thing is, if you do have specific titles in mind, to go to the Amazon.com store and just make sure that they're available in the Kindle edition. Because some titles are available for Kindle and some are not. So you might want... What was the name of the one she was looking for?
The one she was... I don't think she actually specified a model. She just wanted to know if...
No, the content she was wanting
to
read.
I beg your pardon. Song of Ice and Fire. See if that's available. We're doing some research for you.
Search.
Yeah. But we've certainly got some people who agree with us in the chat room. The DRFC says... Yeah, Amazon Kindle is in AU now, cheap at Tricky Dickies, like you said, Graham. Gareth in the chat room says, get a Kindle. And DRFC says, yeah, you get free unlimited 3G for the Kindle worldwide.
Yeah, but you can't surf the web on it.
No,
it's only for getting books.
It does have a very basic, what they call an experimental web browser built into it.
So what can you do on it?
Can you go to websites and have a look, yeah. And sometimes they work better than others. And, of course, anything with any kind of animation doesn't work too well with the e-ink display because the e-ink display works better with static things than moving things.
What about things like Flash? That wouldn't work on Java.
I don't think so, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Oh. You wouldn't need it to, so, yeah.
Well, Apple. Sorry, what?
No, what... And often for things like news type sites, they tend to reflow the page, so it's like in article mode on your smartphone.
Oh yeah, yep.
So that you can read the article.
You
more
zoom
easily.
In and it gets a bit bigger and it rolls it in the right spot for you.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fruit Loop, I hope that's helpful. And if you'd like to send us any correspondence, you know the address: feedback@techtalkradio.com.au.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Talk Radio.
And how's the old ubiquitous iPod turning 10? That's a pretty good achievement, really, when you think about the very first one that came out 10 years ago this week. Steve Jobs. He's looking a lot better back then than he unfortunately is today.
The first one of the ones we are familiar with.
Yeah. The first Steve Jobs?
No, the first iPod.
First iPod. Yes.
That resembles the ones that we've got now. There was one that was 20 years ago that was... Yeah.
It's had a few incarnations, hasn't it?
Something like that.
Well, there was the first real music player that came onto the market after the Sony Walkman, really, wasn't it? There were funny little MP3 things that came out, like River. What was the River one? Did you used to have a River one?
I'm trying to remember the brand that I had.
Was something funny like that used to clip to the sun visor of your car or something like that.
It was
strange little boxy things.
A whopping 128 megabytes of storage on the device, and I've still got it at home.
One CD on it, if that.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've still got my third gen iPod. That was the first iPod I ever bought.
And I bet you it's still going strong too.
Yep, it is. Yeah. It needs constant power supply. It can't be off the
battery thing, right?
Yeah. It can't be off the power at any time.
Speaking of battery things, how'd you go with your necklace? Oh, look, it's sort of glowing, isn't it?
It's glowing. Yeah, it's slowly getting there. It was warming up. If they could do one that was, based on kinetic energy or something, so you didn't have to have a battery in it, that'd be really cool.
Oh yeah, they've got t-shirts like that, haven't they, Doctor Ron? You've got one. No, you haven't.
Not on tonight.
Not on tonight.
No.
Anyway, the iPod, its best year was 2008.
Why do you
in respect
say that?
Why do I say that? Mm. I happen to have a graph here in front of me of sales from Apple.
Oh, its best year from a sales point of view for Apple.
Yes. Right. iPod units shipments per year. They shipped in 2008 around about 55 million devices.
I was ahead of the curve.
Why won't you get yours?
2003.
Yeah, 2003 when they first came out, and it's a very little blue line, and I'd just be guessing that you're probably majority of that little blue line.
I think I was. I was the only one on the
probably
train
about 10.
When I went to work.
Yeah, how much was it back then? It would have been frightfully expensive.
$380.
For how much storage, do you remember?
I think it was 30 gig, about 30 gig, something like that.
And it's certainly come of age with video and things like that.
Well, this is still it still had the four buttons above the wheel, and the button there wasn't a clickable button on the inside of the wheel, and it wasn't colour or anything, and it was the blue sort of background.
So, what are the future of them? Do you think? Do you think the iPod is going to hang around as a music player? Because we've now got all these things like phones and tablets and stuff like that. And the phones can do – well, basically, an iPhone is an iPod, isn't it, without the only difference is a phone call-making device, really, isn't it?
I think they'll hang around.
I guess they're good for kids, I guess.
Yeah. And, they're making them into watches and things now, so you can have, your little iPod shuffle as a wristwatch.
Well, you can get a walkie-talkie or a watch, as Dr. Ron said last week, as the gadget. So why can't you get a music player, an iPod thing? Graham, you want to say something?
I find it's not very convenient sometimes to have too many things built into the one device.
Mm.
So having my music player, I've been listening to stuff on Stitcher on my mobile phone lately, and I'm finding it's a little bit inconvenient because it's just not quite perfect for the job. Whereas if I listen to my podcasts on my iPod that's separate from my phone, it's easier to manage.
Yeah, you see people going for a run and things with their iPod strapped to their arm and like the tiny little iPod strapped to their arm. They're not going to do that with their phone because the phone's heavy and, you might get, you might risk dropping it or...
What's the middle one called? There's a little thumbnail one, which is the...
Is it the shuffle?
And then there's the Nano, isn't it?
And the Nano and then
The Nanos are very popular amongst the jogging fraternity.
Yeah, they are because they're so light. So you can hardly even feel it on your arm. Mm.
And it's got all the things in it, like the cover flow that we're used to. You just don't have the interactive touchscreen. You see a lot of people trying to touch the cover flow of the Nanos and it just doesn't work.
No.
You have to use that funny little arrowy thing, the navigation thing down the bottom. So,
And further to what Graham's saying, I think there is a place for a discrete device, which is just a music player and that catalogues your music well.
Yeah, it will be interesting to see how it goes because the revenue from the iPod, according to Apple, is on the way down too. So at some point in time, it'll become unviable for manufacturing and they'll have to come up with something else or split it into another device maybe.
Everyone's got one. So that's probably why the sales have slowed down. Every single person on the
They're everywhere, aren't they? Absolutely. How many times you walk down the street and you see someone with the white earplugs in doing all that sort of stuff? And there's another thing too. I was reading in the paper during the course of the week that there's a real epidemic around of people walking around nearly killing themselves on the road because they've got their earplugs in and they're just oblivious to traffic. People stepping out onto footpaths onto roadways and giving motorists grief.
Yeah.
So take the earplugs out, guys, when you cross the road. Better for everyone's health, I think.
Damo the Geek in our chat room says, I only recently killed my first gen iPod Mini 2004 vintage. $399 for 4 gigabytes.
As I was reading that, after what Andrew said about the safety issues, I killed my first iPod user. I thought that was going to go towards, but no.
I only recently killed my first iPod pedestrian.
Mine must have been more expensive then. If his was 4 gigs, $400 for 4 gig.
Yep. What was yours?
A year after mine must have been far more expensive than I thought.
Damaged ribbon cable, to answer your question, Andrew, while replacing the battery.
Oh, okay. We're getting back to the safety issue. Like our house, we have a fence out the front and it's a high fence. And as I back out of the driveway, we've got some people up the street, students, who insist on listening to their iPod. And I'm sure that girl in particular is going to walk into the side of my car one day whilst I'm backing out because it's head down, tail up, sort of walking at a ferocious pace in another land, another zone.
Yep.
So
common sense.
Apple's going to cut the iPad supply chain. Now, this is according to JP Morgan. So I'm not sure why, but several supply chain vendors indicated in the past 2 weeks that Apple, the world's biggest company by market value, lowered fourth quarter iPad orders by up to 25%. So I'm expecting that iPads, obviously, the demand for them in this current economic climate is, it's a luxury item, isn't it? I'd say an iPad's a luxury.
Yeah.
It's not a necessity. If you're looking for a communications device or a computing device, you'd probably go in another area. And maybe that's time to keep an eye on the tough times coming up because the States is going through potentially another recession according to all things, and of course who knows what's going to happen in the next little bit because interesting times.
Aren't there a couple of billion Chinese that don't have iPods yet? They'll keep the iPads or whatever.
Oh, they buy the copy ones over there, don't they?
Yeah,
I don't think
that's the problem.
I think Apple miss out on the
iPlaid.
That's right.
Yeah, Apple miss out on the cut because it's in China and they just someone's copied it and that's it. It's out.
The iPad.
And the iPad, yep. Yeah. And the iPlaid.
Oh. All right, and just before we take a break, Net Registry got hit by a DDoS attack.
I've never seen them so active on Twitter before in my entire life.
Distributed denial of service attack because who are they hosting? That caused them to do that. They must have had.
They don't know who it was directed at.
So someone. This is where zombies come in because someone activated some zombies and they all requested websites off Net Registry, which is Australia's probably one of the largest providers around town. And it was around about 1:20, I think, in the afternoon, or starting from 10:15 to about 1:20. So that's considerable if you're a web host. Mm. Interesting ways of getting around that with tricky DNSing and things like that. But
well, I would have had to do some fairly fast footwork and some fairly tricky fast footwork. Yeah,
absolutely.
They had to talk to people upstream to get them to try and throttle some traffic back so they could get normal services restored.
Yeah, Telstra maybe, wherever they get their incoming from. And I guess we should also mention that we're no longer handing out Google Plus invites because...
No, I don't have 150 remaining anymore.
Oh, don't you?
No.
Have you handed some out?
No.
And it's declined or you've just...
Just disappeared off the radar for me.
I haven't logged in. I should log in. So you've no longer got any to hand out?
No. The spot on the screen where it used to have only 150 left now has something different there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What's it got that's different?
Now, what Andrew's talking about is the Google social networking service, which is still in beta, by the way. It's still being trialed and developed and molded into the shape that Google want. But it's now open... For registration by
I've still
anybody.
Got invites there.
No, it's not.
No. Okay, let me correct what I've just said.
It's open for registration. So anybody can sign up for Google Plus account except loyal, paying Google customers.
Yes, except
users
of
Google Docs
Google
or whatever.
Docs.
Yeah.
Yes, which is very frustrating.
Google Apps.
Yeah. Which is very frustrating.
Mm.
Extraordinarily frustrating. And short-sighted. They don't understand why they've got that
well,
there.
Why are they burning the people who are actually paying them?
Yeah, it's bizarre.
The people who are their most loyal paying customers.
So in effect, to use it, Graham, you have to set up a whole other Google account.
Which I'm not going to do because, I don't want to have to keep signing out and signing in. They've just made me jump through a whole heap of hoops to consolidate my Google accounts to deal with my what they call conflicting account.
Yep.
So that it all consolidated into one. They've made it harder for me to be signed into two accounts at once. So, no. There's no practical way for me to use it.
Yeah. It's very frustrating. I don't know what they were thinking there.
No, neither do I. But it's really, really seriously annoying people who pay money to Google.
Sorry. I've got a bit of software that fixes that now.
Yeah.
We'll talk about that later. All right. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio. We'll take a break whilst and get Graham a nice cool drink.
Yes,
and,
I think
and
so.
He can have a bit of a lie down.
Yeah,
yeah, all right. And we'll be back with more after this.
Listening to Tech Talk Radio.
So how do I do this calculation?
They called me on my mobile to ask me where the data was bad.
Or am I the last geek standing?
It's a bit harsh, isn't it?
Probably a little bit harsh.
They've deciphered the structure of an enzyme of an AIDS-like virus that scientists have been trying to figure out for ages.
I'm remembering conversations I didn't have.
User error, I think, is the politically correct term.
I'm surprised they don't stand out the front healing lepers. It is that.
That would be a benchmark.
It would. Trying to model these proteins takes a huge amount of computing power.
Looks like something Lady Gaga would wear.
Oh, dear.
Maybe there is truth to that. No.
Maybe.
It's fine.
Can I just say...
You're really confusing your world now.
Absolutely.
I'll just fade it in.
We should...
The boot up time is actually faster than the mobile phone 7 time.
I think a lot of people did give them shtick.
Circuit switch networks, packet switch networks, two different things.
How do you kill it?
Put it in the washing machine.
The same clueless people have now got iPhones.
Oh, dear.
Now, hang on.
Because it's
entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Just in case you missed something, want to hear a discussion again, or even if you wanted to indulge in the Tech Talk Radio extended mix, then subscribe to the Tech Talk Radio podcast. You'll find a link on the website, techtalkradio.com.au, or subscribe on iTunes. You can also have a repeat of the current show streamed live to your device by visiting stitcher.com or by visiting the Tech Talk Radio small screen site, m.techtalkradio.com.au. Tech Talk Radio, it's everywhere you need it.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Yes, you are. Welcome back, everyone. Tech Talk Radio. Andrew McComb here with Graham, Lena, and Dr. Ron in this evening, talking about all things tech. You can come and join us in the chat room if you're listening to us live, chat.techtalkradio.com.au. You can ask questions or just join the other show that seems to run there most hours of the Monday nights when we're live to air. Anyway, the podcast, obviously, you can grab that on Tuesday mornings, and that's available, the two-hour version, if you're listening to the one-hour version on the CRN. So, hello, yep. Everybody. Welcome aboard. During the course of the week, I have to have a bit of a laugh at this. I don't know whether this is just a sign of things in Europe at the moment, but the Pirate Party won a seat in the German elections.
Yarr.
Arr. Is it? Where's your parrot? Yeah, it gives you a gives you an insight into the voter or apathy, really. In the
Is Germany really...
are they that disinterested that somewhere...
Or is their television really that bad?
Yes.
Or is their music supply that expensive?
Or they have
that
a sense of humour.
Yeah,
none of that.
I think they're so disinterested in the politics that there's a seat somewhere voted in the member for the Pirate Party.
This is in the Berlin State Parliament too. The Pirate Party took 9% of the state vote, according to polling, more than 5% it needed to gain a seat. So not only did they get what they needed, and some more.
It was a landslide.
Yeah. It's probably a bit like Jedi in the Australian census, isn't it? People, let's give these guys a run.
Well, I didn't have Jedi available. I did it online.
They didn't, did they?
Well, it might have had it as a radio button.
There wasn't even other. I can't even remember whether it was that either.
Like,
I think
Jedi brackets, do not click this brackets, but no,
yeah.
They didn't even have that.
Yeah. Anyway, the German Pirate Party victory followed the original Swedish Pirate Party's win in 2009 European parliamentary elections, netting it two seats there off the back of a 7% vote in Sweden. So rock on, Europe. They're all for piracy there. dear.
We just need to see
have
what
we got the Millennium Copyright Act and all that sort of stuff. Does that not apply in Europe? Obviously not. Or maybe it does and they just, yeah, all for other things, I guess, really.
We'll have to see what effect, if any, it has in Berlin.
Yeah. Now, RIM, Research in Motion, otherwise known as the maker of the BlackBerry.
Yes.
Those things that are very popular in the United States. Not so here, I don't think. I only know one person with them here. Brian in the office used to have one, then he went back to iPhone.
Last time we talked about RIM on the show, Lena attacked me.
It's all right. You've got Dr. Ron in between the two of you.
You
that's
probably
all right.
Deserved it.
I was in between the two of them last week. It got a bit rowdy in here.
It did. Had to go in the car. I think I had to pull faders down if I recall.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Anyway, RIM have got this thing called a playbook, which is, a playbook, really, isn't it? It's sort of like a notepad-y sort of computery thingy. Anyway, they've just shipped 200,000 of these playbooks last quarter. And they're planning a bigger campaign to clear out its costly inventory. They must have made too many of them. Is this the same as what HP did with their device, do you think? Sales figures from Playbook were well short of the 400,000 to 600,000 expected for RIM's second quarter. And the stockpile was responsible for some additional 400 million sittings of its new inventory, valued at around about 1.4 billion. So it's got a hell of a lot of stock there that it's got to clear. They made too many of them and they're just going to do what HP did and get them onto the market.
Well, it's a BlackBerry tablet from what I understand.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Running a BlackBerry, special BlackBerry tablet operating system.
Yeah, it'll never take off. It was like, what was the one that WebOS that HP
had? That was the HP one, and then HP then after...
And people put Android on it, and it worked so much better.
And after about 7 hours of it being available for sale, HP said that they were going to dump it.
Yeah. Oh, well. And eBay trying to woo new developers by building a new division. And this division will, its aim is to attract more merchants as the company tries to emulate the success of Apple's iOS platform in the e-commerce world. So maybe Apple are giving eBay a run for their money these days. Apple obviously have got everyone's user details online because how many of us don't have an Apple account these days? Mm. Obviously, more people have Apple accounts probably than they do eBay accounts. So
I've got an Apple account, but I rarely use it.
Yeah. How do you get your music, or shouldn't I ask?
Well, I just listen to it. I stream it live online. I don't download music and play it. put it on anything.
Oh, okay. So you just you don't say, that's my favourite album, I'm going to play it. You go, what's on Pandora today and I'm going to do...
Yeah, or Groove Shark or something like that. That's what I do. And then
I think that's becoming quite popular, isn't it?
Mm.
Especially, I must admit, I love Pandora. Pandora's a music site in the United States, which is just fantastic. And the thing I've noticed about Pandora too is depending upon the device that you're listening to this music service on, depends whether you get ads served to you or not. So if you're on the WDTV Live, which I have in the living room plugged into the hi-fi system, I don't get ads. Whereas if I'm on the computer, I get ads.
You do get ads.
Yeah, go figure.
Well, you've said that Pandora is natively, it's only available to subscribers in the United States, which I think is correct.
Yep.
Grooveshark's available to people in Australia.
Yep.
That's a good one.
Grooveshark is good. And you can drag and drop your playlist and the thing down the bottom, can't you? I haven't used Grooveshark for a while. So
yeah, you can. Yeah, you log in, create an account, set up playlists and tag all your favourites.
And you can use either VPN or proxying services to access Pandora from Australia.
You can.
If you like living kind of on the edge of the law, not quite sure which side of the law that's on.
Well, okay. It's open to conjecture, really, isn't it? So
it is grooveshark.com. It is. Grooveshark, yeah.
So anyway, there you go. A bit of news about eBay, because eBay has been a bit sort of stagnant of recent times. They haven't really changed their modus of operandi recently, have they?
Apple doesn't do anything that eBay does, surely? What does Apple do that eBay doesn't do?
Well, they have hardware, which people have to sign up to buy content. They've removed optical drives from their thingy-me-bobs so that you have to download movies off their site. eBay's probably...
What am I missing? Is eBay selling stuff like that Apple sells in its iTunes store? Is that
No. eBay is just another option. But because Apple's
What's an option for? Pretend I'm dumb, I don't understand what you're talking about, because I don't.
I am dumb and don't understand what you're talking about.
Okay, well, eBay sells stuff,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And they
go to eBay and I bid on something that I see.
Forget about what eBay sells. They sell stuff. That's all you need to know.
Yeah, okay.
But eBay don't have hardware associated with their store, whereas Apple do. All of their merchandise, all of their hardware, like their iPods, iGadgets, Macs and all that, they want you to buy stuff through the App Store.
But I can't buy physical things on...
No, we're not talking about physical things. We're talking about software and stuff like that.
Okay.
So as a result, obviously, Apple are doing very well in their downloads and stuff like that. I hear what you're saying in respect to you want to buy hardware and stuff like that.
Yeah, but can I buy music on eBay, can I?
You can buy DVDs. You can buy CDs and stuff like that on eBay, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, but not to the level that Apple do.
Yeah, I'm not quite sure that we're getting the point of the story.
Yeah, I don't get how they're comparable. But that's just me.
Okay,
and
anyway.
And two other guys next to me.
All right.
and everyone in the chat.
Bang the rocks together, guys.
And everyone listening.
All right. Okay.
Where was the article? Where was the article from? And I'm going to have a proper read of it.
Okay.
In my own time, I'll go on.
It's on the Wall Street Journal, and it's also in
IT News. I can see at the top of
the notes
here.
They have it as well,
there.
Yes.
All right, we'll research that one. We'll have a look.
So, anyway, that's eBay, and they're trying to get new developers in there to build new storefronts so they can sell stuff.
Okay.
Music and hardware and all that sort of stuff, because obviously people are tending to go elsewhere.
I can see them doing that, so eBay, you know, could be used as a vehicle to be selling.
My favourite shop online is still Grays. I'm broke, poor and destitute having shopped too long at Grays. That's an Australian auction house.
You do tend to have a new Grays story each week when you come in.
I haven't got one for a while. I've not gone there. I've shopped on eBay, bought a camera the other day.
You've had to say, just say no and walk away.
Yeah, I have. Mm. I've got enough now. dear.
What sort of new camera did you get?
7D.
Ooh.
Canon. Canon 7D.
Yeah.
That's nice. Very fancy.
It is. We will have Canon on the show very shortly too, but need I say more?
Very good.
Oh. Yeah.
They bring free?
They've got a new...
Do we get free cameras?
Do they give you presents?
Yeah.
Shiny things?
You guys.
Shiny things.
Goodness.
I'm a Nikon person, but I can totally pretend to be a Canon person for a while.
Yeah. Actually, Canon have got a
new... They could turn me if they gave me a camera to use 7D. For a few weeks.
We'd say lots of nice things about them for a long time.
Yes, you guys. Shockers.
Have you had a good play with it yet?
What are we talking about now?
The Canon. The 7D.
The 5D I've played with considerably, consistently, and it's good. The 7D is more a it's a camera for the office. It's a work camera.
Yep.
It's a very nice device. Ooh. But if there's some interesting news too. If you're a bit of a videophile guru, Canon are actually about to launch in Hollywood. I think I tweeted it when it came out. A brand new camera for motion picture, movie making stuff, which is going to give the Sony F3 a run for its money. It's a true 50 megabit camera, which is great for doing high-end stuff. And it uses the standard Canon L-series lenses. So chances are, if you're a still photographer and all that, you might have some good lenses which you can pop straight on the front of this device.
That's cool.
So, yes.
The lenses are the really expensive part.
For shooting video, for shooting higher than high-definition video.
Yeah, they're touting 4K, but we don't know yet because it hasn't come out.
Now, that's cinema standard high-definition.
It is. It is. So, yeah, interesting to see what happens. Anyway, November the 3rd, I think, for that particular launch date.
Mm. That'd look really nice on YouTube, wouldn't it? Shot with that.
Look really nice on my Sony Bravia.
It would. YouTube's going to have to up res. They're going to go to 4K now. You know, it goes up to 1080i. It'll have to go up to 2000.
Mm.
4K being 2000 pixels by 2000 pixels.
Oh, I was going to ask what the equivalent would be in.
It's not that much dissimilar from high definition television because only 1080 lines. It's sort of a 1920 across by 1080. But that 1920 across, it's not too far off 2000. So it's only marginally a little bit better. And I think when we had Mr. Gardner in talking about cinema stuff, you know, the specs that they were talking about that were being projected on cinemas was not too dissimilar from high definition television. But you can go back to a previous show and have a listen to that if you like. Now, Windows. Let's talk about Windows and Microsoft. Their store, you know, stores. I know you guys are having concept issues about how stores work these days.
I'm keeping up.
Okay. Anyway, Windows, the Windows Store, which comes along with Windows 8, is really going to be used for selling Metro apps only, I think.
Metro being the new user interface that comes with Windows 8.
Yeah, that's the tiled thing you had on.
Makes it look like a phone, yeah.
Yeah, you had it on your desktop last week. How did it go, by the way? I overheard you saying that you didn't like the scrolling options. You really needed to work on a touch.
It's really clunky and unpleasant to use with a mouse, yeah.
Okay.
In its current form, in its current pre-release developer preview form, yeah.
Did you go back to the normal desktop with Windows 8, or you didn't go that far in your virtual world?
I did. Yeah. You can bring up the normal desktop, but you always...
How did that perform?
It looks just like Windows 7.
Oh, okay. I guess that's for a reason, really, isn't it? For all the business people, so when they get used to icon-based desktop, they can go back over to it anytime. Can you toggle between the two of them?
Yeah.
Oh, good. Anyway, have a play. You can get the Windows 8 download if you want to. If you've got a spare machine, I haven't had any success with my X64 machines yet. I'm going to have to try 32-bit. Bit of a hellish week at work this week, so I haven't tried it yet, but it'll come.
I hope they release a new version of Office so they change the whole look and feel of that again. That'd be really good. I love it when they bring out a new version of Office.
Yep,
spend 9 months trying to learn how to use the thing again.
Let me just hold up the sarcasm sign behind you here.
/ sarcasm. Mm,
yes.
Definitely.
Oh, dear. Anyway.
Is this the first time that we've had a store... The manufacturer of an operating system make a store available for PCs? Like we've got
No.
What else have we got?
We've got Apple Store.
Oh, yeah, I was thinking.
And you got eBay.
I was thinking PC.
Oh, yeah.
No,
okay.
Not eBay. No, I was thinking PC World.
You meant PCs, not PCs generally.
Yeah. Yep.
You mean software
Windows type PCs?
Windows type
PCs. Yes.
You mean software? Or you mean hardware?
No, he means specifically in Windows world.
In the Windows environment.
He means a PC,
not a Mac.
Yeah. Okay. Yes, this is the first time we've had a Windows Store, if you're talking about that. Yeah,
yes.
Where like Mac has their Apple Store. This is
Microsoft's version.
Yeah. And they're only going to be doing Metro apps. Don't know whether you get hardware on it.
All right. It'll be good. Interesting to see what they do with it.
Apps built for the secondary Windows 8 desktop interface would remain open and could be distributed through traditional channels, such as retailers, direct, or on the web. So it's not a sole distribution channel either. It just means that if you're there and online, you want to click and buy... like you probably can on the Apple Store. It's probably not a bad option.
Well, like you do on your mobile device.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cool.
Have you played with BoxyBox during the course of the week too?
You got a BoxyBox, didn't you?
I did finally get a BoxyBox. And let me tell you, it's a very nice little device. We've now all boxy through the house.
This is a BOXEE. It's a kind of media player-y doohickey thingy that you connect to your TV and your hi-fi and your internet.
Correct. I was hoping to talk about this last week, but like all good things, we didn't get round to it.
It's made by D-Link?
The hardware is made by D-Link, yes, and the Boxy is been around there. There's several platform versions of it. If you go to boxy.com, you can have a bit of a look there. But the hardware, I think Adam talked about it in the View from the Couch a while back.
Yeah, he liked it.
Yep,
which was really, he was glowing results. I must admit, I concur with Graham. The stuff that I've been playing with has been really good. Very easy to use, good remote control. Do like the QWERTY keypad that's on the other side of the remote control, unlike the WDTV Live where you'd sort of a little frustrating... trying to arrow up and arrow down and press enter and do all those sorts of things. The Boxy is really quite good. The benefit of it is Or, like, if you store your media on a server or on a machine at home, you can actually, not only does the Boxy box that you stream it to your television set, but the Boxy app that you can load up on your iPad lets you stream directly to your iPad device too, which means that you can actually use your iPad as a telly, so to speak. If you're in the kitchen or if you're in the bedroom and you want to watch a movie or a sitcom or something like that, you can actually load up the Boxy app, browse to your storage device and watch it, and regardless of format, which is really good. I'll reserve my Flash thing because I haven't tried Flash. But everything I've been trying to throw at it, AVIs, MKVs, QuickTimes, the whole shooting
Everything's
match,
played?
Everything has played. And it plays full screen and it's good quality.
Now, the next step for that is I want it synchronized with how it's playing on the other device. So if I'm watching it on my big screen LCD TV in the lounge room, and then I wander off to go to the kitchen to make a cup of coffee.
At the moment, it's one way.
I want to be able to take the iPad with me and have them stay in sync.
At the moment,
so that I can walk away and I can keep watching.
Yes, I hear where you're coming from.
Yeah.
But at the moment, it seems to be the one way. If you're watching on the iPad or the iGadget, on the top right-hand corner of where you're watching it, there's a little TV box. And if you've got the Boxy box plugged into your TV and you press that, it just chucks it straight up on your Bravia through the Boxy box. But it doesn't go the other way. You can't take the Bravia to the iPad.
Right.
Some smart cookie will write the application to do that, but not at this very point in time. So, yeah, a bit of feedback from the Boxy box, which I thought was well worth sharing with the listeners. Now, in other news.
Yes.
Adam has a view from the couch coming up very shortly, but I'd like to pre-lead that with surround sound. Who's got a surround sound system at home?
I've got a surround sound system at home.
Have you?
It's great. A 5.1 system.
Yeah?
Yeah, I have. I kind of don't. It's a kind of a dodgy, cheapy one that I don't use much anymore.
Yeah? Yeah. Lena?
No.
Yeah.
Gimmick.
Really?
Yep.
Okay.
Just like 3D.
Okay.
It's just one of those things that I'm just not going to sign up for.
Really?
Yep. Really? Yep. Okay. I don't need sound behind me and all that. I just really don't.
So you're happy with lo-fi stereo or the sound that comes out of your telly?
Yep.
When you're watching a movie at home?
Yep.
Okay.
Right.
I don't think you're Robinson Crusoe there. I think there are many other people in the same boat as that. And this is the subject of this week's View from the Couch. And Adam is going to share with us his thoughts on the surround sound systems.
Adam Turner's View from the Couch.
When it comes to home entertainment, I'm wondering if great sound is as important as a great picture. Very few people manage to take a systematic approach to designing the home entertainment system. If they're lucky, they might do it while they're building or renovating if there's cash left to splash on luxuries. For most of us, though, our home entertainment system has been cobbled together and upgraded over time. When it comes to home entertainment, most people seem to treat surround sound as an afterthought, if they bother with it at all. Of all my friends with large widescreen televisions, very few have a surround sound system, or even stereo speakers to boost the sound. I guess it's because surround sound seems like more of a luxury. Unlike a big picture, it's harder to appreciate what you're missing when you don't have surround sound. I owned a basic surround sound system before I bought my big television, but only because I scored some hand-me-down speakers, which encouraged me to buy an entry-level surround sound amp, a discounted superseded X-Demo model from a hi-fi clearance sale. I was on a budget, so I decided to hold off on a subwoofer. When I moved house 3 years ago, my widescreen TV took brighter place in the lounge room, but the surround sound system stayed packed away in the garage. My preschool kids love the big screen, but seems too young to appreciate the benefits of surround sound. Unfortunately, their bedrooms are so close to the lounge room that it's not practical to fire up the surround sound once they're in bed, so the surround sound system sat idle. Then I bought Star Wars on Blu-ray the other week, which got me thinking about surround sound again. Now the kids are starting to watch more grown-up movies and we've got a Blu-ray player, it seems wrong to leave the surround sound system in the box when we're watching sci-fi classics. I spent a weekend setting up the surround sound system again and tweaking it to my liking. It's not perfect, but perfection is a cruel mistress and sometimes you just need to be happy with what you've got. I'd forgotten how much of a difference even this basic surround sound system makes, and now I wish I'd set it up sooner. I'm contemplating picking up a cheap subwoofer to give us the full 5.1, although I might hold out and put the money towards a full set of new matching speakers further down the track. Actually, I've just discovered I need a new hot water service, so the subwoofer will probably have to go back on the luxuries that can wait list. I know such a confession puts a dent in my nerdy street cred, but that's the way it is for most people. It's difficult to make strategic buying decisions when you're piecing together a home entertainment system over time, but I try to think ahead so I'm not spending money on gear that will become redundant. The difficulty is that you don't want to buy cheap and nasty gear, yet you don't always have the cash to get the high-end system you really want. Maxing out your credit card is not a great idea, especially as you never know when the hot water service might go on the blink. Rather than go without, the solution is often to strike a compromise or maybe buy the core components and build up the rest over time. You can also pick up bargains if you shop around and settle for last year's model and look for deals such as X-Demo. Of course, it can be cheaper in the long run if you buy everything at once, but then the price starts to creep up again. Like I said, a home entertainment system is something that requires plenty of thought before you hand over any money. For most people, it's a story of compromise, especially if you've got bills to pay.
Entertaining, informative, and independent. You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
Now, Schmancy Pants Adam, what he wants, not only water, he wants hot water. Come on, get your priorities right, Adam. Yeah. Jeez.
Speakers first, water later.
He has a wife, a lovely wife, who obviously has requirements for the family of water other than cold.
Hi, awesome.
Yes.
I'm sure he's a fan of hot water too.
He's got a lovely big living room there.
Priorities is all I can say, Adam. Yeah. Priorities, come on.
Well, I must admit, I've got a surround sound system at home, which basically is I've forced the people to listen to it because otherwise it would never get used.
Have you got hot water as well?
Yeah, I do.
Yep.
Fancy.
Yeah, but my hot water, I replaced my hot water probably about 2 years ago, so I'm right for the next 8, I think, because they religiously have the bottom fall out of them every 10 years to the day.
Oh, really?
Hot water services, yeah.
Oh, my house is 10 years old.
Yes.
That's why you got to move.
You need to move.
We have to get a new heat. We have to redo our heater.
Correct.
Our heater is...
washing machine, dishwasher, and you probably all bought it at the same time, so it's guaranteed to all go bang.
Well, our heater started tripping the circuit breaker.
Yeah, that's the start of it. That's the start of it.
This is why you need a surround sound system.
Get your surround system.
Nice logic.
Yeah, absolutely.
See, up here for thinking.
One more thing.
Down there for dancing.
Yeah, anyway, power in the house.
So 5.1. Left, centre. Oh, sorry, Graham.
I think that Adam has conflated two issues that don't necessarily need to be together.
You mean they're mutually exclusive?
I don't mean they're mutually exclusive. I meant he's combined two issues into one that don't need to be combined into one.
Oh, okay. Could be the carby.
It is essential to have a good sound system attached to your big screen TV. In fact, the sound is more important than the picture. The sound will give you more of an experience than the picture will.
I agree with you.
But it doesn't need to be 5.1. You can just have a good stereo system. You don't need 5.1 for that to work. The 5.1 is really nice, and I don't know why Lena's against it, but
I'm not against
she's,
it.
She's
I'm just
a
not
visually,
going to be spending
she's,
my money on it.
She's visually, aesthetically appalled by the look of the big speakers.
Yeah, it's too cluttery.
They're not big
and
speakers.
Too...
They're tiny
Correct.
Little satellite
That's
speakers.
That's right, see? Yep.
So, but...
Well, as long as it's pretty.
What you said.
But that is the option, and surround sound is really nice, but it is important not to use the tiny little speakers that are in your screen to actually get, and it doesn't cost a lot because the simple way, if you've just bought your big LCD flat panel screen or whatever, it's got connections to put a sound system on it and still remote control it with your remote control, and just buy a cheap PC designed for computer gaming 2.1 system with a subwoofer and two satellites.
I've
it's
got
not going to cost
them.
A fortune. Yeah,
I've got nice Altec Lansing ones of those. I can put them on my telly.
Well, they're ideal for connecting to your. Your
My
telly.
Bravia.
And they will sound marginally better than the inbuilt speakers.
They will sound more than marginally better. And in fact, it'll make all the difference in watching a movie because you'll have reasonable sound. It will make more of a difference than the picture quality will.
So your 5.1 is... The dot one is the subwoofer that Adam spoke of. That's the thing
and the
that
five
rocks
is,
the floor.
Is the five channels. You've got left and right. And then you've got a centre channel, which has got the dialogue in it. And then you've got the left and right rear channels, which are...
But they're not behind. They're side rear.
Well, technically, they should be on the side, but yeah.
Yeah, if they're 7.1 is for the rear.
7.1 has seven speakers plus a subwoofer.
The two at the back are the rear ones. Right behind you, but the other should be back,
two behind,
right,
two
left
to the
and
side,
centre.
Two
I'm pointing
at the front,
in the studio.
And one in the middle, at the front.
Elroy in our chat room says Mythbusters did an awesome show about blowing up hot water heaters.
Yeah, I know. There's a different show in our chat every Monday night. So you should come along for that, if nothing
that
else.
That was a good episode, though, of Mythbusters.
Was it? I haven't seen that one.
It really... NASA would have been proud of that water heater.
Very good.
Oh, is it like the Top Gear Reliant Robin being sent up?
Yes. Oh, yep. Yes. Very. Yes. Only much more successful.
Now, oh, good.
Now, gaming in surround sounds pretty
the
good.
The moral of the story is don't disable the pressure relief valve on your hot water system.
Dr. Ron, you've got a GT5 copy and a PlayStation 3. Mm-hmm. Have you played that with the sound on the volume and the surround sound turned up?
It's the only way to play it. You crank up the surround sound.
Exactly.
You find the sweet spot in the middle of your lounge room.
Now, the woman sitting to your right, camera left.
Yes, other right, that one.
Is a gaming enthusiast.
Woman. Yes.
Is a gaming enthusiast.
Yes.
Yet, no surround sound. How do you appreciate the... Because Graham's spot on. The sound makes half the show.
I prefer more gaming on my computer than on my telly, so okay. I have my headset.
So when you're going around the GT5 track at a million miles an hour and you hit the wall, you can actually... The neighbours go, what the hell was that?
You can probably hear the individual bolts coming off the car.
Absolutely.
Oh, it rattles the windows.
Absolutely. It just adds to the gaming sensation. But anyway.
My 2.1 sound system, yes, when you do hit the wall in Gran Turismo, yes, it does make a very pleasing thud out of the subwoofer.
You feel it, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's part of gaming. Speaking of gaming...
Tech Talk Games with Lena Van Deventer.
Hello, hello. We've got something that I think is going to annoy Graham. It's a legal thing, and it's one of those things that he hates.
It's legal?
One of those, one of those things where someone's removing your rights.
He's gone into the
Graham.
Meditation position, have you noticed?
Last week, Sony amended the PlayStation 3 terms of service.
Dr. Ron, just roll back
to include a little footnote that says you are no longer allowed to enter into a class action against the company. You then violate terms of service, and they don't have to give you stuff anymore.
Yeah, but if that's not legally enforceable, then bad luck to EA.
Yes.
I'm sorry.
I haven't read that.
Yep. This is EA have just jumped on the bandwagon as well, saying in their terms of service, you waive your right to a trial by jury as well. If you want to keep using their products and you want to be having a class action against them, you are not to do the two things
at
once.
Yeah, good luck with that, EA. What are you paying your barristers and solicitors?
Yes.
You pay peanuts, you get monkeys.
They said,
come on.
I'll quote it. They said, by accepting these terms, you and EA expressly waive the right to a trial by jury
or to
participate
there.
In a class action.
There's case law that says if you don't read that stuff, often you're not bound by it.
Yes, pretend I didn't say anything.
Pretend we didn't say
plead
anything.
Ignorance.
It's like having a sign up in a supermarket that says everybody that walks in the door here must take off their clothes. Yeah, well, no, I'm sorry, that's not actually legally enforceable.
So you're shopping in the wrong shops.
Well,
what type of shops are you shopping in?
Stick with me.
Yeah.
But no, I don't think they can enforce that. Certainly not in Australia.
Like
not in Australia, no. I don't think they would have a very good chance of doing that. And they did say that towards the bottom of the article. If you live in Quebec, Russia, Switzerland, and a member of the states of the European Union, you're exempt. We believe this stretches to Australia, New Zealand, and parts of Asia as well.
But
we're not 100% sure. But it's not a very cool thing to be reading about, I think. Does that get the hairs on the back of your neck up, Graham, or not?
Not really.
No?
I think that.
Talk and no...
Storm in a teacup.
Yep. Oh, really? I thought that would have got him all fired up.
Yeah.
I'm disappointed now.
It's a bit sad that EA thinks that it needs to do that.
Mm.
Like, why don't they just concentrate on doing what they do well and
make computer games?
Yeah, not worry about all that sort of nonsense.
There's been several cases have gone through the Australian courts where organisations have tried to remove consumers' rights through agreement, and it's generally failed.
Mm. Definitely. But, yeah, it's something to keep an eye on because it's a little bit dodgy.
The rights that it is a little bit dodgy, but, yes, in Australia in particular, the rights that consumers have are generally pretty well protected and can't be excluded by user agreements and things like that.
Oh, good. We're pretty lucky then. A few other things that have come out at the moment is Steam's weekly top sellers for this week.
Oh,
Steam being that place where you go and buy games
digital
online.
Digital distribution network.
It's like an eBay thing.
Right. Steam is the place where you buy Portal from. That's all I know.
Buy software
good.
And games.
That's all I know.
You're learning.
Yes.
They're listening
I've
to me.
I've bought exactly two games from Steam.
Portal 1 and Portal 2.
Correct.
If that's all you take away from the show this week, then that's all we can ask for.
Next I'll get you started on Half-Life. We'll have the full Valve spectrum. The number one seller was Dead Island, which I'd like to talk about in a moment. But then there was Fallout New Vegas.
I saw the trailer for Dead Island.
Yes, you did.
It's not for little kids.
No, it's definitely not. Definitely not.
Horror and adult themes, I'd say.
Really?
F1 2011.
Have we got that new rating system in yet? Have we got the R in yet?
Not yet, no.
No? Okay. No, so it's MA 15 plus then, Dr. Ron. You can play it.
Yes. Magicka, Red Orchestra, Deus Ex Human Revolution, which I'd also like to talk about. Company of Heroes, and The Witcher. We're all in the top 10 there, which is pretty cool because Steam haven't normally liked to release their sales charts very often. So it's cool to see it around.
Why did you skip number 9? Don't you want to talk about nine?
Total War Mega Pack.
Yeah.
I haven't got a list of what's in the Total War Mega Pack, so I didn't want to mention it.
Best not to mention
Yeah, thanks, Ron.
I'm good at this, aren't I?
To go back to Dead Island.
Just move your laptop around a little bit so you can't look over your shoulder.
Yeah, I think I might have to. Do you mind? This is my private space.
Sorry.
The Dead Island had a great trailer that came out a few months ago that I think I talked about on air where... it was almost like a little movie. It was very moving, very emotive. It was in a non-linear sequence, so it was sort of from back to front. So you watched the end first and watched it go backwards. It was really, really well done. And people were really worried about the game matching up to expectation. It's a first-person horror action-adventure game. Now, I did a segment a while back on all the genres and what they meant. But first-person means that you're looking through your own eyes.
So yes,
not over someone's shoulder or anything like that, or from the side. Horror action adventure is pretty self-explanatory. There are horror themes to this game.
There lie zombies.
Because there are lots and lots and lots of zombies, and they're all trying to kill you.
Yeah, they're not good zombies. They're nasty, nasty zombies.
I've never met a nice zombie, actually, I must say. The game's developed by Techland and published by Deep Silver. You can get it on Windows, PlayStation 3, and Xbox 360. Mm. It's basically you're in an open world, so we've talked about that before as well, where you can walk around sort of GTA, LA Noir, all those sorts of games where you can just walk wherever you like. It's not sort of a corridor that you have to walk down and then turn left, then turn right. It's on a fictional island of Banoi off the coast of Papua New Guinea. You wake up in a resort hotel to find it infested by zombies, but somehow the main characters are immune to whatever's turning everyone else into zombies, so they've got to try and get off the island as well as help the other survivors try and escape. You do that through a number of quests, including trying to create a vaccine against the infection.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Sounds challenging, doesn't it?
It is, yeah.
Sounds like a film I've seen.
It sounds like a few different
Dustin
films
Hoffman
all put into
in it,
one.
If I remember.
Yeah. So it is a first-person sort of... It focuses on hand-to-hand combat, or melee combat, or melee, or have... There's a million different ways to pronounce that word.
Melee. That's what they have at the footy.
Yep. A melee. Yeah. So it has RPG elements in it, as well as being sort of a first-person hand-to-hand combat type thing, as in that it has an experience system, so you earn XP, and there's also skill trees that you can put points into to sort of level up in different areas. But yeah, it's got an 80 at Metacritic, which is pretty good, out of 100.
That's not bad.
That's not bad. And it's MA15+.
Good. One not for the kiddies.
Not for the kiddies. Neither of these games are for the kiddies, actually. Because Christmas is coming up and they'll be spoiled. So
yeah, you're going to get us a good list for Christmas games this year?
Definitely will.
Excellent.
Definitely
will. It's not far off, really.
The other game I'd like to talk about is Deus Ex Human Revolution.
Is what?
Which is Deus Ex.
Deus Ex.
Yep, Human Revolution.
Is that like OS X? But Deus Ex? No?
Not quite. Okay. D-E-U-S. E-X.
Oh, it's E-X, Latin. Not an X. See, I can't see your screen from over here.
No, it's Latin.
Deus as in God, like, Lord.
Oh, God, yep. That'd
Romanus.
Be
and X as in an X-1. I don't know.
Maybe like an
X-God.
Tell us about it, Lena.
It's a science fiction action role-playing game.
Oh.
Yeah, so it's
beam me up, Scotty.
It's got a sci-fi sort of thing about it. That's developed by Eidos Montreal and published by Square Enix. Or Squeenix, as some people like to call it. It's a prequel to the original Deus Ex, which was released in 2000. It's available on Windows, Mac, PS3, and Xbox 360. It's set 25 years before the first game. So when they say prequel, they mean prequel. It's 25 years before, so it's set in 2027, I think. And you're playing as Adam Jensen, who's the security chief for Seraph Industries, which is a corporation that deals in human augmentation. So you can make yourself have sort of superhuman abilities by mechanical modifications to your body. So it's
$6 million man. Here we come.
A little bit, yeah. there's a lot of movie influences going on at the moment in games.
Can I just say something before I forget?
Yeah.
J.J. Abrams went into production with Star Trek this week for Star Trek 2. Sorry if I didn't remember. Just what you said reminded me to say that. Otherwise, I would have forgotten in two minutes.
No, that's fair enough.
As you were.
Yeah.
Beam me down, Scotty.
Got the J.J. gone now.
Yep.
So there's an attack on the headquarters and he has to undergo radical surgeries to fuse his body with mechanical... technologies to try and seek revenge and to survive. It's very open-ended, and that's what people really like about this game in terms of you're not told what to do and then you do it. Your actions have a really profound effect on the direction that the game's going to take.
Okay.
It's got different pillars of gameplay. So hacking is something that you do in the game.
Such real life.
Yeah. There's a concentration on stealth, combat, and there's a social skills sort of way of playing it as well.
That's day-to-day living, isn't it, out on the streets? Well, stealth bit. Combat and
so, social hacking. Skills won't suit the average gamer, will it?
Oh, ow! Ow!
Graham!
Ow! He punched me right in the feelings.
I don't know what you...
That is a can of worms.
You're opening a big Pandora's can of worms.
You're assuming you're a typical gamer. You might be an above-average gamer and have some social skills.
I'm above average at most things.
There you go.
No.
If you make an assumption?
For an example of how these gameplay elements can sort of play off each other and make the actions really different in the game, if you fail a hack, if you attempt a hack and it fails, an alarm might go off, triggering another battle sequence or, you know, some sort of conflict. So these sorts of things, or having, you know, certain social skills and a certain social relationship with another character might enable you to access areas you might not have normally had access to. So it's really, it's the sort of game you could play 12 times.
It sounds like a bit of a really mind different. Bender, really.
Yeah. So it's people love that open-ended sort of choice that they get at every step of the way.
I admire people who program those type of games, the writers of them. Very, very clever people.
Yes.
What platforms, Lena? Did you mention that? I'm sorry.
I did. Windows, sorry. Mac, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Oh, pretty much everything.
For Deus Ex.
Covers everything.
Dead Island was Windows, PS3, and Xbox 360.
Windows, PS3, and Xbox 360. Okay, right.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's available on pretty much everything Deus Ex is.
Have you played Deus Ex?
No. I have not yet. Okay. No, have not. Bad, bad. Across four cities, it's in...
Bad, Lena.
Bad. It's across four cities. It's in Detroit, Shanghai, Montreal, and Singapore. Metacritic have given it an 89 out of 100.
Gee, wow. That's a big rap, isn't it?
That's good.
Yeah, it's pretty good. And it's because people really love that open-ended game where they get to make all the decisions. And it's also MA 15+.
Good, so, another one not for the kiddies.
Pick them up, but
what's it worth, ballpark?
Them.
That would be like around the $100 mark, I'd be guessing.
Probably about $90. Mm. Depends on whether you get it digitally or in a store.
Cool.
Or if you import it.
You get it on Steam? Is that where you download it for the PC or the computer-ish type sort of players?
They'll have all the prices online, so you can check them out.
Yeah, definitely.
If you're a Steam person. Mm. So that's it. That's good. Yeah, hey, that's are there any good events coming up in the next little bit that you're attending on the computer calendar leading up to the end of the year? Or have we finished? We've had most of our...
There's a few interesting things happening at the National Gallery of Victoria, which would only be helpful for our Melbourne listeners. Yeah. But yeah, pop down and have a look. There's a few sort of game and play expos going on in the Acme and all surrounding areas.
Right. So no more. You're not doing any more junkets this year? Your feet are firmly planted in the air from the computer now?
Yeah, I'm done for a little while. Excellent. Doing lots of writing now, so...
All right, there we go. We're all up to date with gaming, aren't we?
I think so.
This is Tech Talk Radio. Absolutely. We're going to take a break. Back with more in a moment.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
This is breakfast radio in some parts of the world.
He wanted to ring the police, but he wanted to do so anonymously.
Speaking of Qantas, it's
what, you shoot special. Yourself in the face?
You shoot yourself in the face.
Dr. Ron, have you cyber squatted?
There are free tools to do most of these things.
I usually enjoy your podcast.
Oh, because the old iPad just
That's
like,
what the iPad's for.
Entertaining.
Put your fingers in the ears. La, 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 la.
Informative.
The consumer is the winner.
Independent.
You've got to find the sweet spot.
While listening to Tech Talk Radio.
You're listening to Australia's most informative technology show,
Tech Talk Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andrew. Dr. Ron's here, Graham's here, and Lena's here. And if you've just joined us, you've just missed out on the computer gaming section, which continued into the break, into the show here. Lena's just been showing us trailers for, what was that?
Dead Island.
Dead Island. Mm. Yeah. Very emotive. Very.
Not for
don't
kids.
Don't let the kiddies watch it.
Not for kids.
Don't let the kiddies watch it. So, yeah. All right. A couple of other interesting things this week. HP. Hewlett-Packard.
HP.
they're starting their bloodletting. They've shed up to 525 employees from its WebOS global business unit this week.
Ouch.
Wonder if RIM's going to follow suit with their stuff. But anyway, that's... Yeah, poor WebOS. Looks like it's heading south big time. So, yeah. Do we know anyone who bought one of those? I think a couple of listeners, I think we
there
got emails
some,
from them, didn't we?
Yeah, listeners that snapped them up. They were throwing them out for...
$99 or something.
A dime a dozen when HP announced they were no longer going to support them.
Yeah. Yeah, interesting.
As you say, like you said earlier in the program, it might be good to pop a version of Android on.
I think a few people had.
If you're clever and you can do that sort of
and
thing.
And it worked well. Mm. Worked well. So my project this week, I'm going to tackle my WDTV Live. I'm going to put some new non-official software on it to see if I can get it to do some things I'd like it to do.
Oh, aren't you scared about doing some irreparable damage?
No. You're going to live on the edge, Dr. Ron.
Oh, I don't know. I like my WDTV Live.
Yeah, well... I'm going to try this. Everyone's raving about it, and yeah, anyway, we'll see what happens.
Either work really well or it'll break it.
Correct. And what have you got to lose?
Your WDTV Live. Yeah. Yeah.
It's got a boxy box now as a backup.
Oh, I see.
I do. I have a boxy as a backup. Yes. And by the way, you know how we were talking about boxy earlier? I neglected to say that the actual apps on that you can download for free, the only thing you have to pay for is the actual physical D-Link box that connects between the internet and your media and your television.
Okay.
And they're only a bit over $200 these days. It's not too bad, really, when you think about what it gets for you. We're all into D-Linky sort of things and WD things.
Warlock in our chat room bought an HP touchpad.
He did. He was the one.
Hmm.
That's right. He would have loaded iOS onto it, wouldn't he?
Well, it would have come with iOS. Hopefully, he might have... Oh, sorry, iOS. I'm thinking WebOS. Sorry, I'm half asleep. Yeah, he might have loaded iOS.
Nights tonight, isn't it?
I was thinking WebOS. It comes with WebOS, Andrew. But that's not what you said.
No.
Bear with me.
Bear with.
Ah, dear. And in other news this week, this is a bit manicky, minity sort of thing. There's lots of funny little things that are not worth talking about, but we'll talk about them anyway. Just gloss over them.
Please.
Apple reduces the Samsung's tablet patent claims. IT News were talking about this evening as I was having a bit of a search around just to double check things before coming on the show tonight. So I think they've finally run out of the patent war, and Apple has reduced the number of patent claims it will pursue against Samsung. So they've given in. Well, maybe the touchscreen's not really theirs or whatever it is, but remember how they were all snapping up by having a go at each other's patents to try and stop them from developing software?
Yeah, you're not allowed to make anything that looks like an iPad from 50 metres with one eye closed.
That's right. You were talking about that cartoon last week, weren't you? Yes. The amended claim to the Federal Court of Australia came as a significant reduction in patents involved. The word significant is significant in that statement. So Apple had initially targeted 10 patents. It claimed that Samsung had infringed in making the Galaxy Tab 10.1 based on the US version of the tablet. So
okay.
Common sense may be prevailing there. In other news, banks...
I don't know.
No?
No.
Not convinced?
Not convinced.
Okay. In other news, banks fined 40,000 small businesses at risk of fraud. Now, this is an interesting thing because I was having a chat to my local coffee maker. What do you call it? Barista?
Yeah, that'll work.
Down where we get our coffee from.
Thought a barrister was a kind of lawyer.
Barista.
Oh.
Not barrister.
Barristers can make coffee, but they're probably not as
syllable.
Good.
You did put the emphasis on the wrong syllable.
Anyway.
It was my job once to make coffee for lawyers.
Was it?
You were
a barrister barista. I was a barrister barista.
You're the coffee girl, were you?
I was.
All right.
I was. Anyway.
So what did you do? Did you wheel a trolley around, or did you come up and say, what can I get for you, please?
I asked what they wanted. Oh,
really?
I had to remember without writing it down, or it used to get mad at me.
Really? Mm. And then you had to pop down to the local, Starbucks and pick it up for them? Or did you have to go and make
kitchen.
It?
Yep.
Oh.
Yep.
Okay.
I was good at it, though.
That's good. Test your memory.
What?
Yeah. Anyway, we're talking about small business fraud. I was in my local coffee shop where the baristas hang out, Graham. Not barristers. There's probably a few barristers there. But anyway, I was looking at his little why pay and go thing on the counter, you know, where they have you get your chip card out and you wave it across and it says thanks for going.
You mean PayWave?
Yeah, PayWave.
Yeah.
PayWave. That's right. Like they've got in a lot of these places these days. And the ceiling varies from, you know, anywhere from $35 at some places up to around about
$100.
No. No?
On the PayWave, and I can't... PayWave is the Visa one, and there's a very similar thing for...
PayPass?
PayPass, that's right, for MasterCard.
Yeah.
And the limit is either $99 or $100.
Okay.
For the PayWave and PayPass. What you're talking about is something quite different.
Is it?
With the $35 that varies from place to place. That's for using... That's not PayWave and PayPass. That's using a normal Visa card.
Chip and PIN.
Or MasterCard.
Or MasterCard or whatever. A normal credit card and not requiring a PIN or a sign.
Okay.
It's just chip only.
I was in my barista shop and he has this thing where you wave the MasterCard across and you do a runner.
Yeah.
You don't chip it, you don't
pin
it,
right.
You just wave it across.
That's either PayWave or PayPass, depending on whether you've got a MasterCard or a Visa card.
Okay. Anyway, the bottom line is I was having a chat to him during the course of the week about the thing, how the technology worked and how he's, you know, the fees and associated things that he pays. Anyway, that's sort of a bit irrelevant because what happens was a lot of people these days, this has happened a couple of times, they wave it over, grab their coffee and do a runner before it comes back saying approved for the little chippy sort of thing. So they're starting to see a lot of this sort of coming up in the ranks of things. And the bottom line is I think we were discussing this last week about who's liable for it and who's not. Graham, was it you and I that were discussing this already last week?
Yeah, the merchant is.
Anyway, you're right. The merchant is liable for it, not the bank. So he loses.
Well, if he doesn't wait for the approved, then yes.
Well,
don't give them their coffee until it's approved.
That's right.
Well, that's a good point, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah.
No coffee until it says approved.
Yep.
That's right.
Yeah. Well, there you go. So
that's just basic stuff.
So we're seeing a lot of those sort of, he's saying, you know, the old smash grabs, as they used to call them in the classics, but here's the swoosh and grab and run out the door type sort of thing.
Swoosh and grab.
Swoosh and grab.
But yes, I was in my local supermarket the other day, and that was $35. I went to just a small transaction. Where's what? I don't have to pin it. Mm. No. Yeah,
I think Safeway for under $35 is no pin and no sign required, but I think Coles still require a pin or a sign.
And is this becoming a trend? I think it will be.
I quite like it.
It's been building up for quite a while. Macca's did it quite a long time ago. They started saying purchases under $35 didn't require a pin.
Yeah.
And it's just spreading a bit. But years ago, I've mentioned this before on the show, but years ago, the pay for parking machines with your credit, when you put your credit card in them, don't require a pin number, and they've been around for years.
Mm.
So it's just spreading a little bit further.
Yeah. Anyway, so with all this new technology, we're seeing new forms of you know, nastiness from unscrupulous shoppers out there doing sort of things like that. But yeah, anyway.
Well, maybe people just don't even know. They think that the transaction's worked and they walk out the door and maybe they've just
inadvertently quick.
Or innocently.
Yeah, a big part of it is people just not being familiar with the technology, as you say. Yeah.
All right, and other news, the ACCC revises mobile termination prices. Now, the competition watchdog has revealed plans to revise the regulated charge of a voice call terminating on a mobile network from 9 cents a minute to 6 cents beginning next year. Since when can the ACCC regulate pricing for telcos is what my question is. But anyway, under the Australian Competition and Consumer Commission's ACCC plan released, the Mobile Termination Access Service, otherwise known as MTAS for those in the trade, price would ultimately become 3.6 cents a minute by June 2014. Isn't competition going to look after all these pricing sort of things? And
No. This needs the regulator's intervention because it's stopping one telco from saying...
This is the interconnectivity between telcos, isn't it?
So if it originates on one company's network and gets terminated on a... So you're on phone company ABC's network and you're ringing in to someone who's connected to phone company XYZ, then XYZ could take advantage of phone company ABC by charging a massive fee to that to connect the call through, and this prevents that from happening.
Okay, because it's interesting to see in the graphs, in 2004, this fee was around 20 cents, and currently... And it has been for some time, since about 2007, it's been sitting down around about the 8 cent mark.
Yeah.
And they want to push it down to even lower than that, as we sort of discussed, down to around about 4 cents or 3.6 cents per minute.
Yeah. Just approach. Then go and compare that to what your mobile phone contract says that you're paying per minute for a call and start to realise what you're really being sold when you buy a mobile phone service.
Makes you stop and think, doesn't it?
It ought to.
But it's not going to be reflected in our phone bill, is it? They'll bring out a new plan with a new cap, and it'll sound better than ever, and it's...
Yeah, and you'll get $500 worth of value for 28 cents, and it'll all be meaningless.
You used to know when you were calling a service on another network, but now with number portability, your phone number's a bit meaningless in terms of what carrier...
Yes, you can't tell. Yeah, you can't tell whether the phone number you're ringing is on another network or
only
not.
Until you get your bill.
Or unless you've got access to the lookup service.
Yes.
Yes, that would do it.
And you could look it up first. But no one's going to do
Who's
that.
Who's going to do... Yeah, exactly.
No.
Exactly.
ReverseAustralia.com is a website of the week that we've had in the past. That's
yeah?
a good one.
Okay.
You punch your mobile phone number in there and it tells you a lot of information about the mobile phone number.
Yeah. Does it do all and mobiles or just it, some?
Does yours, I'm here to tell you.
Does it? Okay. Does it do yours, just out of curiosity?
I don't know. I was a bit scared to check mine. Let me check. I'll
check
it.
Andrew's the guinea pig.
Yeah, he was. He wasn't even big. I'll check it and tell you. The other thing with ReverseAustralia.com is it prompts you to log in with Facebook. If you do log in with Facebook...
I remember this.
Yeah, associate a Facebook account with the query, it will tell you a lot more information. Just doing it ordinarily, it blurs out a lot of stuff.
Okay.
If you click on... You know, the button that says, yeah, you accept them connecting to your account and sending you some spam and stuff like that, that actually reveals a lot more information.
All right. Well, while you tinker with that, just some other headlines this week. iiNet undercuts rivals, such as Internode, with the retail NBN pricing. So I think we're not going to see the last of the competition in this space in the next little bit. Japan's defense industry was hit by a cyber attack during the course of the week.
Was it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Does that bother anybody?
It's
a bit like really. A tsunami, but anyway, it went through to the keeper. And Vodafone, here's one for you, Dr. Ron.
Yep.
Vodafone has bought some 1800 meg spectrum, which is for mobile phones. That's 1.8 gigahertz.
Oh, I think I saw this.
And they bought it off the railways. What were the trains doing with that sort of frequency?
Talking to each other.
We don't need Foley. We've got these two over here.
That's so they can talk to their network controllers and their train controllers and their line controllers.
Is it?
Yeah.
Why can't train people use radios as well?
I was just curious that it was a very high frequency that they were using.
Can you use radios? There's a very clearly defined international protocol, believe it or not.
This is the answer I was after.
For digital communications in radio networks.
Oh, is this packet?
It is a packet communication system, and it's like an international standard for radio use for public transport systems.
Oh, okay, for public transport specifically. Okay.
Yeah. Off the top of my head, I can't think what it is, but if anyone's interested, let me know. I'll look it up for next week.
Well, there's big numbers involved here because the spectrum, this 1800 meg spectrum, underpinned a $500 million national railway signalling system developed by the railway authorities over the past 10 years.
Yep.
And providing up to $1.5 billion in savings. License renewals saw Vodafone aggregate continuous blocks of 22.5 meg of spectrum in Adelaide, 17.5 in Melbourne, and 12.5 in Sydney. And that's obviously right slap bang in the middle of, the middle band, I think, isn't it? Because we've got 1.8 gig for mobile phones. So they've got a bit more spectrum, maybe a few less call dropouts because they can hand over to different cells. Probably the upshot of that. I just found it amazing they got it from the railways. I wonder what they were doing with spectrum in that part of the world. iiNet acquires a Melbourne ISP called Supernode. Has anyone ever heard of Supernode?
No.
No? Good, neither had I.
Never will again.
Apparently, if you're looking for a job in IT at the moment, going west into WA is the place to be.
Right. Yes, go on.
Yep. So a lot of skilled demand over there for IT gurus and stuff like that.
WA would be a great place to live and work, I reckon, outside of Melbourne. If I had to choose somewhere in Australia other than Melbourne, I reckon I'd live in Perth.
Really?
It's a lovely town.
It is a nice spot. I've been there on a couple of occasions.
And the one thing that you don't...
The sun sets at the right side. You can actually be on the beach when the sun sets.
You can. The one thing you don't appreciate about everybody who lives and works in Perth, unless you've lived and worked there or done some work with the guys there, is how difficult it is for them to communicate with the rest of Australia because of the time zone difference. They get to like 1 or 2 in the afternoon and they're still trying to be productive. They're trying to do business with everybody and they're trying to make phone calls. And everyone in the rest of the country has gone home for the day. It's very frustrating.
Well, that serves them right for living so far away.
It's the price they pay.
I can imagine the sort of rivalry and antagonism that exists in Melbourne against about Sydney people, and we get upset if we hear a Sydney based news story on the news. Imagine how you feel about some of us do.
If you watch Channel 10 on the weekends.
Imagine how you'd feel in Western Australia because you'd get everything would be so East Coast centric that you would see and
that's right.
You know, the drive time radio shows end at 4 o'clock in the afternoon
The weather on Perth television? It stops at the border.
Does it really?
It does.
Oh, they don't even
No, the isographs don't go over into South Australia.
Wow.
They're closer to South Africa than they are to the east coast of Australia.
Just about. Damo the Geeks over there. Sorry, Damo. We're just having fun. We can do north-south ones between the southern parts of Australia and the northern parts of Australia, but I think we should move on.
We're not meaning to upset anybody in the west.
We don't mean to upset anybody.
No.
The other thing, finally, I know we're running a bit late, but this is worth a mention. You remember the chemical fire in Canberra last week?
Yes, very well.
Yeah, well, apparently the SMS-based emergency alert system was put into action and it didn't quite work too well.
Oh, no.
Yeah, garbage messages and delays in communication were the bane of the system's thing. So what have we got in store? They should do some more tests, don't you think, especially around fire season time in some of these more fire-prone areas and things like that, because that could be a bit of a worry if that happens.
What seems to be a bit of a worry to me is that the people who are coming up with these ideas don't appear to understand how the phone networks work and what's intended to do what and how the system's designed to deal with things. Let's force something that's not going to fit and try and do something that you can't do.
Yeah, that's but ridiculous. this was a tad embarrassing for them because they sent out some text messages which didn't rock up till 1:40 and 3:20 the following morning. That's a bit of a delay in a lot of respects. But anyway, story for another day. Well done. All right, this is Tech Talk Radio. We'll be back with Odd Spot, Gadget, and Website of the Week in just a moment.
Listening to Australia's most informative technology show.
Tech Talk Radio.
You've got to remember that compression is not your friend.
Is it for credit cards only, or is it FBOSS as well?
Steve Wozniak.
The traitor.
I'm down to 4 cables again, not 14,000. Go away. Click it, upgrade.
If you put your entire life online, you get what you deserve in some ways.
Optus have said sorry, and so say all of us. Fantastic.
This
all right.
This is why we can't have nice things.
This is why you can't have nice things.
Entertaining, informative, independent.
You're listening to Tech Talk Radio.
In this house, we obey the laws of thermodynamics!
Cool! Oh, this thing is amazing!
Tech Talk Radio's Gadget of the Week.
Out of my hole!
GJMCN via the Tech Talk Radio contact form has this week's gadget, thanks GJ, the Creative D100 Bluetooth Wireless Speaker System. Here's something for hard-to-reach places, for example, the bathroom, says GJ. A simple Bluetooth speaker. The Creative D100 Bluetooth wireless speaker has simple and nice sound, he says. Creative says it opens a whole world of possibilities unbound by wires and blends harmoniously into any environment, whether it's music sharing at the skate park or impromptu partying at the beach. Isn't that lovely? You can even listen to music from non-wireless MP3 players via the integrated AUX-in port. Works with any compatible stereo Bluetooth device from a range of up to 10 metres. You can buy them online for about $70, but GJ says you can get them from Aldi in Melbourne for about $40. So that's good. Have a shop around. Yeah.
Oh, want.
Want. There you go. That's our gadget, Andrew. The Creative D100 Bluetooth Wireless Speaker System.
Here it is, everybody. The world's greatest website.
Tech Talk Radio Website of the Week.
As used by the Tech Talk Radio Spam and Marketing Communications Department, MailChimp, www.mailchimp.com, is an awesome, awesome, awesome free email newsletter service.
Three awesomes.
Three of them. Ooh. MailChimp makes it incredibly easy if you want to import lists of subscribers, create lists, create marketing campaigns, import HTML email from web pages, even manage, integrate your campaigns with your Facebook and your Twitter accounts. MailChimp has built-in reporting, shows you which emails have been opened, by who, when, and which links have been clicked. It also shows you if anything's bounced and why. You can sign up for free, or you can register 2,000 recipients and have 12,000 emails a month go out. That's the free account. If your requirements exceed these limits, you can sign up to a monthly plan or pay-as-you-go plan. So 2,000 recipients and 12,000 emails per month for free. It's pretty good.
Start your spamming career now.
Oh, it's awesome.
MailChimp.com.
And you start getting obsessed with checking reports and bounces and stuff.
You should be on the radio.
Great interface. Don't say that. Highly recommended for email marketing by the Tech Talk Radio team. www.mailchimp.com.
Tech Talk Radio, app of the week.
Now, Andy B, who's not in the chat room tonight, he's noticeable by his abscess. He on the forum says,
he's writing resumes.
Ew.
Our app of the week should be ABC Foodie, F-O-O-D-I. Foodie. It's an iTunes app,
And quite simply, says Andy, a recipe book for the iPad. Recipes from numerous chefs, all of whom have featured on or have some connection with the ABC, are included to cater for a variety of tastes and occasions. Snacks, desserts, drinks, dinners, all instructions are presented clearly, and the overall layout of the app makes it easy to navigate and use. How's that for good? Now, Andy's put that on the forum, so you can go to the forum and have a look. There's an iTunes store link on the forum as well in Andy's post. So, thank you very much, Andy, for posting that. He says it's free and another solid effort from Auntie.
Can you dig it?
No, ma'am. We're musicians.
My, the meatloaf!
Bon. James Bond.
You can't handle the truth!
And the hits just keep on coming.
The Odd Spot on Tech Talk Radio.
Thank you, GD, for this contribution. The mod in our chat room tonight. Artificial blood vessels made on a 3D printer may soon be used for organ transplants, for creating organs in laboratories. Until now, the stumbling block in tissue engineering has been supplying artificial tissue with nutrients that have to arrive via capillary vessels.
What's this got to do with photocopiers?
A team at the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany, the same people that bought you the MP3 format, has solved this problem using 3D printing and a technique called multi-photon polymerization.
Oh, dear.
The findings will be shown at the Biotechnica Fair in Germany by the Z-Germans in October.
Z-Germans.
Out of thousands of patients in desperate need of an organ transplant, there are inevitably some who do not get in time.
Will the pirate party be there?
Yarr.
Yarr. To make sure more patients receive these life-saving surgeries, researchers in tissue engineering all over the globe have been working on creating artificial tissue and even entire organs in the lab. But for a lab-made organ to function, it needs to be equipped with artificial blood vessels, tiny and extremely complex tubes that our organs naturally possess, used to carry nutrients.
That is exceptionally cool.
That's amazing if that comes
really,
off.
Really, really cool.
Isn't that amazing?
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
More information at the BBC. Thanks, GD, for that contribution.
For the people that, brought us MP3s. That's good.
Yep.
They're diversifying.
At the Fraunhofer Institute in Germany.
What's next?
What's next? I have an eBay sale number for you to write down. This is part of an Odd Spot, which I can't read on the radio, but nonetheless, you can have a lot of fun reading about this.
Go ahead.
The eBay description. This comes from David Jones. Not the supermarket, but David Jones, who works with us from time to time.
Hi, Dave.
The eBay item number you wish to search for is 1-807-265-87776. It's a TomTom.
Three sevens.
Yeah, three sevens at the end. It is a TomTom, and you'll have hours of entertainment reading the description.
Should I put
and why the actual device is up for sale on eBay.
Should I put a link
Graham
in the show notes?
Graham is already starting to have a bit of a chuckle.
I'm just laughing at the Google results that come up.
Oh, really? Anyway, there you go. There's your homework. All you Tech Talk Radio listeners, we're going to come back and do it the same time next week, all things permitting. But until then, is that it? Are we all set? Are we all done?
Permitting next week.
Weather permitting.
Good.
Well, didn't you read the news? We've got the El Nino back again. Floods, tempests, fires again.
Again. Is that thing still around?
Keep your head down, Queensland. That's all I can say.
It's like the ozone layer. Is that thing still around?
Yes, exactly.
Not if I've got anything to do
with
it.
Didn't a bus fly through it just recently?
Anyway. It did.
Okay. That's it. That's the show. Have you found it yet, Graham? No, he hasn't.
Yeah, I have.
Yeah. It's very good.
It is.
The reason why he sold the TomTom. It's a very good description. Go and check it out, guys. Till next week.
NSFW.
Yes.
Something about New South Wales.
No. Bye for now.
You've been listening to Tech Talk Radio, brought to you each and every week by a group of dedicated professionals from within the media, broadcasting, IT and telecommunications industries. The team consists of executive producer Andrew McComb, producer Dr. Ron, regular panellists Graham Callaghan, Mark Diggins and Lena Van Deventer, expert opinion from Adam Turner, and our US correspondent is Lydia Davis. Post-production facilities courtesy of Evolving Communications. Podcast production by GC Support and Shaq West. Tech Talk Radio is broadcast, recorded and streamed live to the world each and every Monday night at 8 p.m. from the studios of 3WBC in Melbourne. The crew wish to thank all the stations around Australia and around the world that broadcast the show. Tech Talk Radio is available for syndication on your local station. Contact us for the two-hour version or access the one-hour show on the Community Radio Network. Visit cbaa.org.au for further details. For sponsorship and advertising, call 03-8682-9099 or visit our website, techtalkradio.com.au, for more information. Don't forget, you can follow the panellists on Twitter, join us live each Monday night in the Tech Talk Radio chat, and solve your issues on the Tech Talk Radio forum. This has been a production of Tech Talk Radio Vic and is subject to copyright and applicable laws and may not be rebroadcast without approval.